Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tuesday morning, November 30th, 93 days since Ida, at least since the recovery began. Highs of 70. Jordan bringing us back there. Manning Master Control with Smoke on the Water from Deep Purple, I think. I'd have to look that up. But we're talking about wind on the water now with Greg Upton, assistant research professor at LSU's Center for Energy Studies. How you doing, Greg?
Doing great. How are you, Tommy?
I'm all right. One thing, and I mentioned this earlier, when my family evacuated to Houston and I got to visit them, was seeing these big white things on the backs of trucks and wondering, what in the hell is that? And then they would usually have, I think, pardon me, like a plastic wrap around them to hold them on a truck, and come to find out they were wind blade turbines, and maybe you couldn't chain them down. I don't know. But now I see this story in the at NOLA.com that they got a company in New Orleans that that are building these things, and they say that that's old. The blade that used to be half a football field long, that's outdated. Now they're 2.5 times larger than that. That's almost hard to comprehend. 2.5 football fields of blades spinning, isn't it?
Yeah, Tommy, it's really incredible. If you've seen these, and if your viewers have, just the scale of these wind farms is just enormous. To kind of put it into perspective, in the U.S. over the last two decades, we've just had an enormous amount of investment in wind energy.
So
to date, we have about 118 gigawatts of total installed capacity. Last year, that made up about 8.5% of our total U.S. electricity generation. And so it's just been an area of growth. And in 2020, we actually had the most new installations of any year. And so it's anticipated that that share of total generation will continue to grow into the future.
So how efficient is it? And I know, I don't think... Pardon me, I'm sorry, Greg. I don't think a oil platform heightens the scenery anyway, and I know we're an oil and gas state, but what is the comparison in terms of efficiency between what a turbine, a windmill, I guess you call it, generates, or an oil platform, and is anything lost in transmission? And that's all the stuff that you study. How big of a wind field would you have in the Gulf to equal what we produce in terms of energy and oil and gas from the Gulf?
Yeah, it's really a great question. So when we think about oil and natural gas, what we're really generating, or what we're really creating, is energy for liquid fuels. And so think about diesel, gasoline, jet fuel that allows to drive to work, fly planes, etc. But for electricity generation, that's really used for a very different purpose. So that's used to, of course, power our homes, businesses, et cetera. And so there's really a complementarity there, that you could still have production of oil and natural gas and really still have that robust economy here in the Gulf Coast region, but also generate that electricity from wind energy in the Gulf of Mexico. And so it wouldn't really be something that competes necessarily with our base oil and gas, but could really be something that sort of complements it. It's an additional opportunity for economic development.
I guess I'm just wondering, and you can answer when we come back, how many of these things would you have to have out in the Gulf? Which, granted, not a lot of people are out in the middle of the Gulf and don't see, so it would seem like it's a good idea. I know they tried to do it off of Martha's Vineyard, and the Kennedys complained because they didn't like the way it looked. But can you put these things way offshore in the middle of the ocean somewhere where nobody, or Gulf, where nobody will see them? But then how much do you lose in the transmission from that to the line to where you can convert it to power, et cetera? And how, I guess, efficient is it? We'll continue our conversation when we come back. And how realistic is it, and how much of an industry could that be for Louisiana? Because you heard Greg say just now that they can operate hand in hand. It's not either or. And if it's, if there's jobs are created by building these things and installing and maintaining and everything else, that's good work, huh? 821 traffic now, WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Jordan Fiegel on it, man. Master Control bringing us back now with the Association and Windy as we talk to Greg Upton, Assistant Research Professor at LSU Center for Energy Studies, about Louisiana becoming a leader in wind power. So I'm wondering about, and I, you got to forgive me here because I don't know a whole lot about science, but you lose in transmission, right? Energy that you generate from, say, a windmill, Greg, is that right?
Yeah, so in the utility industry, that's referred to as what's called line loss. And so okay. If you look at any electricity generation source, you generate the electricity. Think of a natural gas power plant or a coal power plant. That electricity is transmitted over what's called transmission lines. And then that the voltage will be reduced dramatically to what's called the distribution lines, which are the lines that come to our homes and businesses. And in that process of moving the power nationwide, you'll lose somewhere in the range of about 10% of it from where it's generated to where it's actually finally used.
Hey, let me jump in here, Greg, if I could, because this in a way does concern you, Ed's president of Plaquemines Parish. Wait, let me clean this up. I got too many sources going. Greg Upton, assistant research professor at LSU's Center for Energy Studies. In case you've not heard, LSU has a new head football coach. And Ian Rappaport just now tweeting that LSU has announced the hire of Brian Kelly as its new coach, giving him a 10-year, $95 million contract. So I just wanted to get that out there since the news was just breaking. Now, Greg, I'm sorry, back to you. So how would you even go about determining the practicality of the feasibility of turbines in a Gulf, how far out they would have to be, how big they would have to be to generate and overcome whatever you would lose in transmission? Does all of that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first place you would look is to Europe. So Europe has built about 20 gigawatts of offshore wind capacity. And so they have experience in that industry. Keep in mind that in the United States, what we've had to date has essentially been all onshore. And so in Europe, even over 90% of their wind capacity is also onshore. But nonetheless, they do have offshore wind turbines. And, you would really look to that experience in order to try to duplicate that model here in the Gulf Coast.
So is it an efficient way to generate energy, bottom line? And how far off would these things have to be, I guess, so they would be out of eyeshot in the water, or would they have to be closer than that where you would have to see them for people that think they're an eyesore?
You could do both. You know, some of the wind, there are two pretty small wind facilities up in the Gulf Coast, one Block Island and then one in off Virginia. And for both of those, you can, my understanding is you can actually see them from onshore, but they're pretty small. And I know many of the wind facilities in Europe, you can also see from onshore. And so really where they place them is going to be a function of what the wind speeds are. And also they're going to take into account that the further offshore they are, even if you get higher wind speeds, you're going to have to build more transmission to get that power to markets onshore. And so it's really kind of a case-by-case basis.
Somebody texted in and said, check out the wind turbine failures. Some are quite spectacular, as was the BP blowout. There's nothing that's completely safe in any way. I just wonder, for people that are worried about turbines replacing oil and gas in Louisiana, that could never happen, could it? Is there enough? Could you put enough turbines in the Gulf so that you wouldn't have to drill for oil and gas?
You know, my view of this, Tommy, just my personal view, is that those two industries can exist together. You've got oil and natural gas that's generated that we produce here, and that is used to produce so many products. And having that low carbon electricity can actually enhance the competitiveness of that industry globally as we export those products all over the world. And so I don't really see those as competing as much as perhaps being together and coexisting. And so I'm hopeful that we can do that here in the Gulf Coast region.
If it's for jobs, if it creates jobs, it'd be win-win, man. And, of course, you can't make plastic out of wind. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate your time. We'll take a break. Speaking of oil and so forth, we'll talk to Kirk Lapine, president of Plaquemines Parish, about the latest on the BP Alliance refinery that's closing right now. No, on the Alliance refinery. Beg your pardon, Phillips 66 refinery. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.